At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Bradley Dean is a gifted orator proclaiming the gospel of Christ and the biblical doctrine of the cultural mandate. He thoroughly understands the original intent of our nation's constitution and believes in the biblical inerrancy of absolute truth of the Word of God.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com. The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker, rocker, rocker.
Good day, America. Welcome, Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, liberals, libertarians, communists, Islamists, LGBTQ, RSTV, WXYZ people, all the boat rockers in the house, and anybody else I may have missed, to the Sons of Liberty radio show here on Red State Talk Radio, where we use the Bible and the Constitution, not to see who's on the right or the left, but who is on the straight and narrow. I'm your host, Tim Brown, coming to you live from the U.S. occupied state of South Carolina, the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and for our Muslim friends, I'm the infidel that Allah warns about to hold to the book, the Bible, as the authoritative word of God. Glad that you guys have joined us this morning. If you'd like to check us out, or this afternoon, sorry, I'm still stuck in morning mode. If you'd like to check us out online, please do so, sonsoflibertymedia.com, also sonsoflibertyradio.com. In fact, if you're listening by way of the radio and you want to watch the video portion of the radio show, that's right, you can see the face that's made for radio, head over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. There you're going to see two videos at the top of the page. The one on the right side is where we were this morning. So if you missed that show and you'd like to catch it, you can do so up until 6 in the morning, which time we'll change it out, and we'll have a brand new show there, Lord willing, for you. On the left side of the page is where we're at. Click on the play button, blow up whatever device you got. Look for the Rumble icon. It'll be in the bottom right-hand corner of that video. If you click on it, it'll take you right over into the chat on Rumble. We've got some friends over there this afternoon, so good afternoon. Good to see you guys. And while you're there, please subscribe to that channel at Sons of Liberty Radio Live, Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble. We're also on beforeitsnews.com, top of the page there. Thank you to Mike and his team for giving us a spot on their page. And then also, good afternoon to all you guys who are on my highly censored Facebook pages that are still there for some unknown reason in God's providence, as well as DLive.tv at the Sons of Liberty. Glad to have you guys here. I am filling in for Bradley. I think he's got some stuff going on that's being fixed at his house. I think that's what was going on. And so he needed the time to take care of that. So I'm filling in for him this afternoon. Again, afternoons are not really, I start losing any sharp edge I have then. So I've just been asked the Lord, just fill my mouth with words for your people. I really want the people to be edified. I want them to think. I want them to be able to act in accordance with, you know, exactly what we're taught out of the scriptures. Real quickly, let me highlight the fact that Bradley's books are out. Again, you can pick up each individual in the store, Soldier of the Cross, All the Prophets Are Pointing to the Front, and Children of the Apostate. They're all individually available, but we also have a pack, and you guys have been waiting and saying, I'm just going to get all when they come out. Well, they're all out now, and you can get the Bradley Dean 3-pack bundle book or book bundle for $35, so you save $5 off of it. You know, good things do come for those who wait. So if you've waited this time, now is your opportunity to take advantage of that. Now, this morning, we touched on several stories that have come out of Western North Carolina. I'm still in the process, not getting in touch with our friend Joe up there with the restaurant that I mentioned this morning. He's basically feeding a lot of people there, and I'm sure he's probably going to need a lot of help, because it's not like, you know, a lot of the people don't have anything. Everything's been taken from their houses, their clothes, you know, any possessions that they have, maybe money, I don't know. They don't have anything. It's kind of like people are going to have to go, and these people are really at the mercy of other charitable individuals, because as we've seen, the government, both local and federal and state, have largely been non-effective. If this doesn't show you the need to abolish the unconstitutional Federal Emergency Management Agency, I don't know what is. Every time we have a disaster, FEMA is a disaster. They're either not helping properly, they're doing things they're not authorized to do, like give people money and all this other stuff. Oh, but Tim, that's for the people to determine. We didn't authorize them to be going and taking our money and giving it to anybody else, whether they're in need or not. I mean, I could take and play for you what we did at Nicene Council years ago with the story of Davy Crockett. And he said, it's not yours to give. What was he talking about? Well, they had a fire in Georgetown. It burned down 5 homes. And so the Senate, I believe it was the Senate, the U.S. Senate then, said, oh, this is a terrible thing. We must allocate, you know, some money. I think it was like $20,000 for these 5 families to help rebuild their homes and stuff. And so Davy Crockett goes to his district, and he's asking the people for their votes, and they have a man in their town who is very respected, a lot of integrity, and he goes to him and he says, you know, I know that the people respect you, and however you vote, that's how they're going to vote, and I just come to ask if you would give me your vote. And the guy looked at him and he said, well, wait a minute. I recall you guys got together and took the public treasury, because there was a fire in Georgetown, and you took $20,000 from the treasury. He said, you could have took $20 million. The number was irrelevant. You weren't authorized to take $20. And you gave it to them. And then people who would have been urged out of compassion and charity to give, well, then they feel that they don't need to do it. And he told him, he said, look, you guys could have foregone your salary, each of you, for a week or two and made that money up. Or month, or whatever it was, to make the money up. And you could have been charitable as individuals rather than robbing the public treasury to make yourself feel good about helping somebody else out. Yeah. That's what he warned them of. But the people in D.C. today don't care. Many of them don't have a conscience as to what they're spending money on. And we can point to numerous bills, and it doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, you can get on that party, you know, spirit, that evil party spirit, and that's what it is. You can get on either one of them if you want to do it. Both of them have done it. Both parties have unconstitutionally spent our money, given it to our enemies, sent it to foreign entities, put it into all kinds of things they're not authorized to do. That's just a fact. So I ran across this I came across it before the show this morning. But this comes by way of CBS News. Now, you know CBS, like ABC and NBC and MSLSD and CNN and Fox and all the rest of them. Don't tell me that the CIA doesn't have their tentacles in on these media outlets. Don't tell me that. They even have them in on a lot of alternative media. They do. I think it's pretty apparent because they're speaking the same stuff. But I came across this story. Helene conspiracies about lithium weather control spread online. And here's what we read. In the wake of Hurricane Helene, false rumors about the federal response. See how they start off? In the wake of... It didn't say there are things that have been brought up and this is the problem. They say... These are false. They're rumors. They go ahead and poison the well before they show you anything. And we're going to look at that when we come back. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com. Hang on.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches every day, doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of Liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of Liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
I want to thank Bradley and the Sons of Liberty for all they're doing to wake people up and to get our nation back to the constitutional republic that it was set up to be. Thanks, Bradley.
Become a son or daughter of Liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
For those of you who have taken the opportunity in proving the God of Israel, we salute you. On October 5th, 2024 at 6 p.m., Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty will be in Portage, Indiana at the Oakwood Grand Hall. On October 17th at 6:30 p.m., we will be in Brownton, Minnesota at the Lake Marion Ballroom. On October 19th at 6 p.m., we will be at Jack's House Bowl in Brainerd, Minnesota. The time to bring about change is now. Book us today for a date in your community at 1-866-233-0747.
Son of Liberty, Mr. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men." Well then, for 25 years now, we as a ministry team have been doing just that and bearing fruit to the glory of Christ. From tea parties to high schools, from colleges to churches, prisons, and more. Friends, it has been correctly stated that a salvation without service is no salvation at all. How true that is. If we have found on a personal level salvation in Christ, this then will lead us back to a national salvation when we work together through a reformation back to his old paths in working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now is the time to work together in bringing us into your communities and setting these brush fires in the minds of men and women nationwide. So book us today. Give us a call at 1-866-233-0747.
Hello, I'm Eric Hollander, award-winning graphic designer and documentarian. I've known Bradley Dean for the better part of two decades, and in all that time, I've been a witness to his consistent passion for Jesus Christ, America, its young people, and the veterans who fought to keep us free. Bradley's radio show, The Sons of Liberty, addresses the heroic values our nation once championed, but sadly are fading in an increasingly self-centered culture. Never one to pull punches, Bradley tells it like it is, boldly proclaiming truth to those with ears to hear.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Boy, I took some of that extra virgin olive oil with my cayenne pepper and lemon in there. My mouth is dancing. It likes it. It really does. But it makes my eyes water for some reason. Okay, so I want to take you through a couple of these things on here. And then I want to jump into conspiracy. I want to see what the Bible says. I want to show you some things that are online just so you have them in the back of your mind. Because what this does is it goes on, it poisons the well before it even gets out of the gate. And it does so by not asking, well, are these things that are being said? Is there any evidence that these things are there? I thought this is how journalists were supposed to do it. I mean, you know, these guys that call themselves journalists for the Mockingbird Media. I thought they were supposed to ask questions about determining what was rather than come out and tell you, okay, this is false, this is this, that, and the other. Anyway, let's go to this. In the wake of Hurricane Helene, false rumors and the federal response has spread rapidly on social media. More extreme conspiracy theories, look at that, have also taken root, including Clinton. Now, I want to stop just a second, okay, because I can't help this. This is the same Mockingbird Media, and I'll bet you'll find this article or one like it all over every one of the Mockingbird Media's websites and on their news channels, okay? Remember, this is the same Mockingbird Media that for how many years pushed the Russian collusion conspiracy theory with no evidence of it? And look, you guys know I was critical of Donald Trump, but they never came up with any evidence of it. But now we have tons of evidence implicating Barack Hussein Obama, Satoru Sabarka, Hillary Clinton, all kinds of people, Robert Mueller and such, who did have collusion with Russia, pertaining especially, you know, regarding uranium. This was a big deal out in Oregon. Remember the ranchers who were out there, the Hammonds, and the resources they had on their land and the resources down on Bundy Ranch? Mm-hmm. Uranium was a big deal, and we know those three that I mentioned were tied to selling that uranium to Russia. So I wonder if the writer here, Layla Ferris for CBS News, I wonder if they would consider that a conspiracy theory. Now, granted, there is speculation. There is theories that abound due to the nature of what we have already witnessed. Now, that one is just one of them. The Oregon thing, the Bundy Ranch, is just another. Is just one. We can go through all kinds of conspiracies that have taken place in the United States. I think most of us agree 9/11. Most of us agree there was a conspiracy there on 9/11. Most of us would agree there was a conspiracy for like things like Operation Northwoods. They didn't finish it, but there was a conspiracy, right? Somebody had planned that out. Multiple eyes had been on it. They shut it down, but nevertheless, somebody brought it up. So they're saying more extreme conspiracy theories have also taken root, including claims that politicians manipulated the weather to target Republican areas and that the government is trying to seize land in North Carolina to mine lithium. The false claims have been amplified by high-profile politicians and social media influencers with large followings. Some of them, I think they mention in the story. I'm not going to get into the personalities, but you know some of them that are there. If you want to read the story, I'll drop this in the archive later. You can read the entire article, but I'm just going to hit on a couple of things. It says, despite gaining millions of views online, these claims have been debunked by officials, think about that, and experts. Who? Your chosen people? Compromised officials, bureaucrats, that's really what they ought to be called. Who stressed that the government response remains focused on recovery efforts in the hardest hit regions. Why did it take them nearly a week to get some stuff out there? So they go through and they deal with the issue of seizing land in North Carolina town allowing lithium. And they say, and of course, look, we reported, I put the report out based on what this guy was saying was the eyewitness account. And then I backed it up with the things as far as how government can manipulate weather. I didn't say they control it because I don't think they control it. I think they can manipulate it. I think that definitely can happen. But the control is really under God. But here's the thing. I have people ask all the time, well, is this God or is this man? They ask it about all kinds of stuff. You're asking the wrong question. Let me give you an example. These are some of our pink and blue tracks that we use when we track people. Okay, you see them? And you see, we will show this to them and we will ask them, now, which one is bigger? And most people will go, oh, well, it's the blue one. Okay, well, what about now? And they'll go, oh, the pink one, and their face lights up like they're shocked. It's just an illusion because the reality is they're both the same size, right? The pink and the blue are the same size. And on the back, you've got the law and then it goes to the gospel. Okay. But we do that. Now, what's the wrong question about that? The wrong question about these cards is, which one is bigger? And if you ask the wrong question, nobody has to give you the right answer, do they? Nope. So these guys are doing exactly that. They come in and ask the wrong questions, and then they don't have to give you a right answer. So with that said, they came in and they said this about what the report was, and that was that these people were saying that they did have a town meeting and they did have these things go on where they were told they were going to end up bulldozing the town and that the federal government was going to be seizing the property. We'll wait and see what happens with that, okay? But in any case, I put that out based on the testimony that was coming here of alleged eyewitnesses. And I thought people needed to know it, that if it's true, the people need to be aware of it now. If it's untrue, fine. then the people don't have my time is. I can't go back to the clock and play it. And I'm sorry about that. We just had a big crash here. But in any case, I'll try to get back on where I'm at. I'm going to be unable to cut out for commercials. So I'm just going to have to wing it. Okay. So just hang with me. Sorry about that. Not even really anything I can do with what's going on. They tried to say in this piece, and they were pointing to Marjorie Taylor Greene, her post, yes, they can control the weather. It's ridiculous for anyone to lie and say it can't be done. she had put out this post on here, and they point to cloud seeding as evidence that the government controlled Hurricane Helene. Well, it wasn't just that. I meant to bring up the video where some guys were seeing how it was steered. And I meant to bring that up. I'm sorry I didn't get to bring that up, but that's what it was. It was more than just saying cloud seeding. That's one thing. I mean, I can take, and we can go back, and I was trying to pull this one up because I lost it. But in any case, there was one I put out the other day, and we've covered this many times, okay? This is not something about just cloud seeding. These people aren't addressing chemtrails and their effects on both the land and the air and the rain. They're not doing any of that stuff. Additionally, this was the article that I put out on the same day that we put out about the report. And this was it here. And I don't know why my buttons are doing what they're doing, but in any case, it says, so you think weather modification, weaponization are a conspiracy theory? CBS News. How do you answer congressional documents? And these documents go back to the 1940s. Geoengineering. That's weather manipulation, if you want to call it that. Okay. And 100 U.S. patents that are related to weather modification. I want to know how the writer over at CBS News would interact with any of this information here about chemtrails, about the 1948 document out of the U.S. Senate. I'd like to see how what they think about Mexico ending geoengineering. Remember, these people are with the Mockingbird Media. They are a controlled outlet. And so if you just buy it just because they say it, well, how does that make us? I don't know. It's really interesting to me. In any case, we've had them calling for blocking out the sun. This was Bill Gates' idea. I don't know what kind of brilliant idea that is, because doesn't pretty much everything have to have sun to live on the earth? Yeah. Sunlight is used, it has to be for men, animals, plant, you got to have it. They want to block it out. Ain't nobody stopping them. Why not? Because the ones who are charged to stop them in their lawlessness are lawless themselves. They have no backbone. They want to be in office. They want to get paid. They want to rub elbows, but they don't want to do their job the way they're supposed to do it. So in any case, these right here that I'm showing the video audience here, and again, I'll have this up in the archive later on this evening, sonsoflibertymedia.com. And this is the 100 different patents. Now, you can go to them. They begin, this one right here, a method of producing rainfall. This was from 1891. So it's even further back than the 1940s. But you'll see all of the lists. This is 100 of them. I'm pretty sure there's more than this. But you'll see they go up through the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, into the 70s. I think we got some going into the 80s here. We got them into the 90s. And then we run into the 2000s. And you'll see, and this isn't all of them. The last one we got here is like 2013. It's a charged seed cloud as a method for increasing particle collisions and for scavenging airborne biological agents and other contaminants. Now, years ago, when I did radio with our friend Jim White, we interviewed Dane Wigington. He's over there, I think it's called geoengineering.com. I think that's what it is. But Dane, you know, he told us at the time, if I understood him correctly, he said, we this is what the spraying's doing, but if we don't keep doing it, you know, something else is worse. And I don't know that I bought that. But nevertheless, the reality is they're giving patents on a lot of different ways in which they're trying to manipulate weather. Now, some guys probably have good intention in this. They probably think, okay, we got areas of drought, and if we can do this thing, maybe we can get some rain in that area. I'm not going to question their intent, okay, on that. But I look at what happens when they start messing with stuff. It's kind of like when they start messing with your food that's grown. And all of a sudden it becomes genetically modified. Or they take the natural means of health in our food and in our herbs and things like that, and they start genetically modifying those things. Or they take them and they turn them into pharmaceuticals. They take the natural things God has given, like what the main ingredient in ivermectin, and then they synthesize it. Or the, what's the other stuff? Hydroxychloroquine. They take what is natural and they add their own stuff in there so they can patent it and they can make money off of you. And when they do that, I don't care what anybody says, all of them have side effects when they start messing with it. All of them do. And they're documented. Doesn't matter how quote unquote safe they claim, they all have side effects. And then when you use the things God has given, you don't find that to be the case. You really don't. So here's a lot of things. Now, here's what I want to bring up. Because they're talked about the lithium, and then we had the report out about spruce pine with the quartz being used for semiconductors, and that was also hit in the area. And then we had some other things that tied, what's his name? Kamala Harris's husband. It tied him to lithium, Doug Imhoff. You know, he's got this thing where he beat up or he hit his ex-girlfriend or pregnant woman, whatever it was that the lady he was seeing before, and he had hit her. And so that's not sticking with people. I don't know why. But anyway, there was a gentleman who came on and he was explaining some of these ties that he has. Now, what's interesting is lithium, he explains it. Now, he'll mention Kings Mountain. I am literally a stone's throw from Kings Mountain Battleground. About 4 miles down the road is where that is. We crossed the line into North Carolina there. And so Kings Mountain is right down the road from me. I saw what had happened. It was very little there. But from Kings Mountain all the way up into that area in western North Carolina is huge lithium deposits. And a lot of that's being accessed by Gaston County, which is, you know, our county here in South Carolina is butted up against Gaston County in North Carolina. There was another one. I want to say Charlotte was a part of it too. And there were a couple other counties that were doing, looking into investments in lithium mines. And it was Albemarle Global, if I understand correctly, that were tied in with these things. And then this Imhoff guy, the guy who's married to Kamala Harris, he has a potential to profit over a lot of this. Why? Why? Well, his retirement accounts are connected to major funds like BlackRock and Vanguard. Okay? And some of the ties are there more in the Piedmont area of North Carolina than it is in the mountains. So let me ask you something. I'm just going to speculate and say, If they were directing it for that, what would that do? Would that eliminate competition over the mines that are being more towards the Piedmont area than the mountains? Yeah, that's possible. But I want you to hear what this guy has to say about it. It's just a little over 2 minutes. Listen to what this guy has to say about the investments from Imhoff. Well, somehow we don't have sound yet, and I don't know why that is. So that give me just a second. When everything went down, I had to go and bring something else up here. So let's make sure. Yep. Okay, that's why we don't have it. Okay, so let's back up just a hair.
So between Kings Mountain and Chimney Rock, North Carolina, is the largest lithium deposit in the world, and the rights are owned by Albemarle Global. And on September the 24th, they actually applied for federal and state permits to redirect and reconstruct their mining operation between Kings Mountain and Chimney Rock. So Albemarle is owned mostly by stockholders, Vanguard and BlackRock Group. Well, guess who the biggest investor in Black Rock and Vanguard is Douglas Emhoff, Kamala Harris's husband. So, Albemarle is home headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina. And when these permits get approved, they're proposing $250 billion, billion, yearly in mining. Douglas Emhoff's stock holdings just went up substantially. And guess who is the final approval for the permits? That would be our lovely VP. So
he's talking about Kamala, his husband. There's a serious conflict of interest.
Six or seven, maybe eight pictures at the end of this video, and you can see for yourself. It's a disgrace. The loss of life for money. So please, I beg you, if you have any heart and any love for life and liberty and the wrongdoing that's going on right now, please like, comment, and repost this to everybody. Everybody. Thank you.
All right, so he's got a couple of things up here where he's showing the documents filed by Harris in 2021 and showing what they're invested in. Vanguard is the big one here. Trying to see some of the other ones. Well, Vanguard is the big one that he's showing here. I'm thinking there's some other ones that pop up here, and they show different things. You guys who are on the radio, I'm just kind of giving you this as they pop up. And he's showing you, you know, what their money was invested in, right? Largest shareholders. And you're seeing who is providing all of that. And here's another one. And I'll have this up. If you haven't seen it, and you can take your time and look at it, I'll have it up in the archives later, sonsoflibertymedia.com, under the same, whoops, that's really loud, the same name that we have on here, which is going to be Hurricane Helene Conspiracy Theories, or Are the People Wising Up? And I think, you know, the reason that people are bringing this stuff up is because they've been burnt on it many times. Don't you think that? We've been burnt so many times, and we're now starting to see they use the same playbook over and over. They do it a little different, but they do it. I mean, they're using the same playbook over and over. And you can see these guys have things in there that they're holding on to, their investments and things. That it's very easy to make that connection. All right. So there's another one. This was a post by a guy by the name of Papa2442. He says, I'm sorry for what y'all are going through. This administration has failed all of us. Let me see if I can blow this up for you guys. This administration has failed all of the people in the wake of this disaster. Yeah, they have. They're showing that they're not only impotent and incompetent, they're showing that they have malice. This is what I was talking about this morning with my friend, or yesterday with my friend Bill, when we were talking. I shared with it on, to the morning audience, and that was, Bill was talking about how they just aren't out to hurt us. They are out to humiliate us in the process. To them, let me see if I can give you a clear picture, okay? You have to go to the bathroom, and I'm talking about the number two. And they give you a little spot to do it in, and then they turn you around, and like a dog, they stick your nose in it. That's what they're doing. They not only, I mean, they're out to humiliate you while they're out to hurt you. And if you want to see a way whereby Klaus Schwab can pull off his thing of you'll own nothing and be happy, quote unquote, by him, these are the means by how they do it. But listen to what the guy said. They failed us with the fires in Hawaii, and our border is a disaster as well. This administration has failed the country miserably. The men in the military have been requesting help. This comes from a guy down in Fayetteville. Fayetteville's down in North Carolina, right there at Fort Bragg. And here's what the guy wrote. He says, don't, you know, leave out my info. You can post it, but leave out my info. He said, I'm in the 82nd station in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We have guys in our unit with family in Western North Carolina that are trying to get their family, guys who are asking to put in passes to go help any way they can. They're all getting told no. Meanwhile, we got briefed that we have to be on standby in case we need to support the Middle East. Do you see it? I'm telling you, every military guy ought to be standing up together and telling them to go fly a kite. Tim, they could get court-martialed for that. If all of them stand up, are they going to court-martial all of them? Is that what you're telling me? I'm not buying it. And look, I know you have to keep order there. I understand that. But this kind of stuff, this is just, again, it's poking the bear. The people stuck need to know that we're trying, but our higher-ups aren't allowing it. Yeah, and we've seen where some of these guys have been sent off, you know, away from their families. The whole idea of war is a destruction of the family as well as the mind of men in war. Ask them. They don't want to talk about it. The guys who've actually seen real war, they don't want to talk about it. And they will tell you, if you want to support the troops, you start getting those guys back home where they belong. You support them and you support their family by them being here. I've read about some of these Navy SEALs, 360 days away from their family. They come home for 5 days and they're right back for another 360 days running special ops. And many men can block it out and do the job. But for the women at home and for their children, they're missing out on dad and their husband. I understand there's a time for war. I'm not against war, a just war. Okay, I'm not against that if we need to engage in. But let's be honest, folks. How many wars are we engaged in right now that are just wars? I don't think any of them are. I don't think any of them are. I want to read you this little passage here. And then I want to go through just a couple of things because I want to show you a biblical, what the Bible says about conspiracies, because people use it as though somehow, you know, conspiracy is a four-letter word. It's not real. People are kooky who believe in them and everything else. And that's just not true. In fact, this is from, I'm going to read just a couple of pages, and they're short pages, from a guy I used to work for some years back, Dr. Gary North. He has a book that you can get for free as a PDF. I'm going to drop it here in the chat, and then we'll throw it in the archive later if you guys want to be able to pick this up. But it's called, excuse me, it's called Conspiracy, A Biblical View. It's roughly 70-something pages, I think. But it's pretty good in overall laying out what a conspiracy is. But listen to how he lays out the conspiracy's theology. And then we're going to take a look at a few passages of Scripture to show you. Men have been doing this for a long time. Okay? They've been doing this for a long time. Here's what he had to say. He starts off with Genesis 3:5, ye shall be as gods. What is the heart of the conspiracy's successful appeal, both to its members and to its eventual victims? Not the goodies that it promises, comes the revolution. There are lots of ways of getting goodies in life. The real appeal and the appeal of a uniquely revolutionary idea. It is the same idea that the serpent presented to Eve. Ye shall be as gods. Men live by ideas, and no idea in man's history produced more evil than this one. Man the god, man the predestinator, man the central planner, man the director of the evolutionary process, man the maker and shaker of things on earth and in the heavens. As Karl Marx's collaborator and financier Friedrich Engels put it over a century ago, man no longer merely proposes, but also disposes. The chief premise of the modern conspirator is this: man, the savior of man. Boy, isn't that the message that we get all the time? Only name your political jersey can save America. How foolish is that? Oh, we got some people who pop in the chat who say that stuff. Utterly foolish. Put your trust in no man. Put your trust in no outfit of the flesh. I don't care who's wearing it. He goes on and he says, this vision is inescapably religious. The impulse lying behind it is religious. Some have called it the religion of secular humanism. Others have called it the will to power, Nietzsche. But no one has described its implications better than C.S. Lewis. And here's what he said. What we call man's power is, in reality, a power possessed by some men, which they may or may not allow other men to profit by. From this point of view, what we call man's power over nature turns out to be a power exercised by some men over other men with nature as its instrument. Man's conquest of nature, if the dreams of some scientific planners are realized, means the rule of a few hundreds of men over billions upon billions of men. Each new power won by man is a power over man as well. Each advance leaves him weaker as well as stronger. In every victory, besides being the general who triumphs, he is also the prisoner who follows the triumphal car. For the power of man to make himself what he pleases means, as we have seen, the power of some men to make other men what they please. In other words, they want to be like their father. They want to ascend to the hill of the north. They want to be God. They want to do what he's doing. So he goes on, and these are just a couple of paragraphs I want to add here, and then we're going to look at the scripture. But there is something missing in Lewis's analysis. Must all progress necessarily lead to elitist power over others? If so, then we have a problem. If we proclaim the moral legitimacy of progress, and therefore the legitimacy of increasing man's power over his environment, which is power such as we possess with modern medicine, how are we to restrain the rise of power-drunk elites, or those who think that they're better than everybody else? Must we too become tyrants just because we believe in historical progress? Progress, after all, is not the product of cultural impotence. It involves the use of power to avoid becoming tyrants. Must we give up the idea of progress, as many in this century have done, and call for a retreat into mysticism? Are we to abandon the struggle against moral and social evil in order to sit peacefully and contemplate our navels, or quote-unquote, wait for the rapture? Are we culturally beaten before we start? In short, can we maintain our own vision of victory, and every successful group in history always has possessed such a vision, and still prevent it from becoming just another stepping stone in the advance of political tyranny? The answer is yes, we can. But to achieve progress without tyranny, we must elevate ethics over power. This is what is missing from Lewis's summary, or at least missing from my summary of Lewis. We must recognize that in a cosmically personal universe, there are perpetually binding moral rules. These rules are ethical. They should remind us that all autonomous, self-made power corrupts. That's exactly right. An absolute autonomous power in the hands of sinful creatures, meaning all of us, corrupts absolutely. And then he finishes with this. This does not mean that all power is evil. It is always necessary for righteous men to possess power if they are to reconstruct a civilization that has been run by evil men who possess raw power. The issue is ethics, not power as such. It depends on which ethical system a society adopts. Some ethical systems are evil. Marxism is a case in point. The question is, which ethical system? One which elevates man and man's goals, or one which elevates God and therefore limits man's power? In short, do we proclaim the religion of God or the religion of humanism? And this is a big point. I don't know why things are doing what they're doing. It's kind of weird. Look at that. I'm hitting the wrong thing there. There it is. Thank you. So with this, what we see is that it's okay to have power or even authority, but that is restricted. It's restrained. This is why when we talk about the Constitution, the writings are the chains, but it's the people who have to put those chains on their representatives. The Constitution doesn't put the chains on them itself. It's the people who do that. The people have to do it. They have to enforce that. That's why the people are said to be the law enforcers. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 15 and 16. They are the law enforcers, not the guys in blue, not the Fed coats, not any of those unconstitutional agencies that have been created. And it amazes me how people keep talking about, oh, the FBI revealed this, and so they're going to do it. Well, when I do it, I say, yeah, it's good that they got that, but come on, man.
These guys are involved in all kinds of crimes themselves. Why do we allow it to stay in place? We have a tyrannical beast that is going to eat us alive if we do not put a stake in its heart. Let me just put it that way. It's going to eat us alive, and our children too. What is wrong with bringing justice in these matters? So you see a conspiracy. Let's hit a couple of these just in Scripture, and hope maybe we can get through some of this by the end of the show. Get that ready there. I don't know what we're going to do. All right, so in Isaiah 8, we read about the, I think this was the one, this, let me jump over one more. There's all kinds of conspiracies within the Scripture. Let's take a New Testament one here. Verse 11 of chapter 23, the book of Acts. Here's what we read. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome." And then notice the conspiracy here. Here it happens. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Now, do you think they fully kept that once Paul was on his way to Rome? Yeah, I kind of doubt they did. They were hypocrites anyway. And verse 13 says, and there were more than 40 which had made this. What is that word? Christians? What is that word? Conspiracy. They had made a conspiracy. They were conspiring together to kill Paul. Okay? And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. And now, therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him." Now watch what happens. And when Paul's sister's son, that's his nephew, heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, "Bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him." So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, "Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee." And the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, "What is that thou hast to tell me?" And he said, "The Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow unto the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, who have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, looking for a promise from thee." So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, "See thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me." And he called unto him And he called unto them two centurions, saying, "Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor." And then he wrote a letter about it too. So he took this conspiracy that was going on, and look, all he had was this boy's words. But I want to tell you something. How did the Romans rescue Paul in the first place and bring him into custody? The Jews were trying to kill him. Remember that? In the temple there. They were trying to kill him in the court. And the Romans came in and rescued Paul. And then Paul made an appeal to Caesar. And they said, well, he could have been let go if he hadn't appealed to Caesar. But in God's providence, God was going to give Paul a stage with these people in order that he might be able to deal with them and present the gospel to him. People like Agrippa, and people like Felix, and then ultimately into Caesar's household. He tells us that, there were many who believed because of the gospel message he preached there at Rome. So God was using him in that. Now, I'm coming up on the end of the show here, and we'll carry over just a little bit so I can give you some of this scripture here. So if you want to pick that up, sonsoflibertymedia.com, top of the page there. Beforeitsnews.com, top of the page there. And also Rumble, Sons of Liberty Radio Live. I'd encourage you, if you don't listen to the morning show, hop over on Rumble, Sons of Liberty Media, and catch us at 6 a.m. in the morning. That's when we'll see you again, bright and early. Lord willing, we'll talk to you then. Okay, want to welcome everybody coming over from the radio. And let me just pop a couple of these in here, because there's just tons of these that we find throughout the scripture. Jeremiah clearly is one that, you know, we often reference with conspiracies. And hear how the Lord lays this out. This is from Jeremiah chapter 11. Look at what he says. "And the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked everyone in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not do them." That's Deuteronomy 28. That's Leviticus 26. That's what he's talking about. He's going to bring the curses on them. And he says, "And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their fathers." They conspired against the Lord to go back the way he had not commanded, "which refused to hear my words, and they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I have made with their fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them." Why is this important? Well, we read over in Revelation, we read that the men want to hide themselves in the caves and pull the rocks over them to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. They think they're going to be able to hide from him. I don't know, man, you really have to deceive yourself in a way I can't even begin to understand to think you can somehow get away from the all-seeing eye of God. The omnipotent, all-powerful creator. You have deceived yourself greatly if you think you can get away from that. But there are people today who still think that. Look at all these people who run. I mean, take Kamala Harris just for instance. Take Joe Biden. They trample over the Constitution, the rights of the people. They speak so brazenly and so boldly. And they're conspiring. There's no question they're conspiring. These people, the people on the front that you see, aren't really that smart. Barack Obama, some people say, oh, he's controlling everything. Well, he might be having some say-so, but he's a puppet too. He's not really that smart. You listen to him blabber when he's not got a teleprompter. I mean, some of these people are really, really not that smart. But here we are. What about the biggest conspiracy that's ever been in the history of the world? Which one are you talking about? You talking about 9/11? Nope, not talking about that. The JFK assassination? Nope, not talking about that. World War I? Nope, not talking about that. World War II? Nope, not that either. What about the Gulf of Tonkin? The USS Liberty? We can pull out all these, you know, things that we know there have been conspiracies towards. Now, the greatest conspiracy that ever took place on this earth was against one man. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was prophesied in Psalm chapter 2. And all through the New Testament, Psalm chapter 2 is probably the most quoted section of 12 verses that are quoted in the New Testament to say they are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And in the Romans and in the Jews of the day. Okay? So here's what he says. Psalm chapter 2, Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Now, what's he talking about? Let's get rid of their law. Let's not have them rule over us. Let's not have them be our God. No, no, no. And who are these kings of the earth? Who are these rulers that take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed? I didn't bring up all the New Testament passages, but I'll just tell you. When you go and you start looking, what you'll find is they're the Romans and they're the Jews. They come together in order to put down the king that God has sent them. Let us break his bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. It's not a good place for you to put yourself where the Lord's laughing at you, just by the way. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath given unto, or said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. They went to put Jesus to death, didn't they? But notice that what Jesus said, he said, no man takes my life from me. What do you mean, Jesus? I mean, they took you, they beat you, they put the crown of thorns on you, they nailed you to a cross, they mocked you, they spat at you. Then they drove a spear in your side. All of that was to be accomplished. That's what was prophesied. The whole Old Testament is pointing to him. That's what he says, Luke 24:44. He says all of the Old Testament, Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, they speak about me. They testify of me. And yet they thought they was going to end his reign. Remember, Jesus told Pilate, he says, are you a king? You've rightly said I'm a king. But he says, my king, he talks about his kingdom not being from this earth, but that does not, listen, because some people get this wrong. His authority didn't come from the earth, it came from his Father in heaven. This is what he's talking about. My kingdom is not of this earth. I didn't build it like you guys build your kingdoms, where they rise and fall and they've got all kinds of wicked people. Jesus is a righteous king. And he says, my authority didn't come like yours because my daddy was king or because the people pushed me up as king. I am a king because my Father gave me authority. That's how he spoke to Pilate. He said, you could have no authority. Remember, he said, I've got authority. I can kill you or I can let you go. And Jesus said, you don't have any authority unless my daddy gave it to you. Who gave Jesus his authority? His daddy. Our Father. He's the one who gave it to him. He is a king. He was a king then, he's a king now. He's the only king. All others are either imposters or they are in submission to the king and upholding his law and his statutes and his justice. They're one or the other. Okay? So he goes on and he says this. Ask of me, verse 8. And I shall give thee, now this is the Father speaking to the Son, ask me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. And by the way, go over there and read in Revelation chapter 3, where Jesus tells us he's already sitting on the throne with his Father. He's already got a rod of iron he's ruling with. And he says, the ones that overcome will sit down in his throne with him, with his Father, just as he did. And they'll rule with him. Are you an overcomer? Or are you a subcomer? Are you a covenant keeper? The covenant God has given us? Or are you breaking that covenant? Because you're one or the other. There's no in between here. You're either a covenant keeper or you're a covenant breaker. Happened in the Old Testament, happens in the New. Look at what he says. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise. So they give instruction here. The psalmist gives instruction here to those kings, those judges of the earth. Don't keep going in the way you're going. And he's going to tell you why. He says, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And ye perish from the way. What did Jesus say he was? The way. Right? That's what we're getting at. You perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Who? The king on the holy hill of Zion. The Lord Jesus. You are blessed if your trust is in him and not in man. Listen to what Jesus said about this. Go over to John chapter 3. Everybody knows John 3:16, but most people don't know what comes after John. They just quote that as though whosoever is just anybody has the ability to believe, and they don't. That's a gift from God. The ability to believe is a gift from God. Now, the command for you to believe and repent is still there, but to believe and repent, to be born again, all of that is a gift from God. That is his grace and his mercy towards sinners. It really is. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but they should have everlasting life. And we went through this John chapter 3 a few weeks back in the morning show. And one of the things that I wanted to point out was the whosoever believeth there. It's not like a whosoever is in just, you know, if you can get over here and do it kind of thing. It's literally that the believing ones in him should not perish. If you're not a believing one, this is not necessarily speaking to you unless you become a believing one. But the believing ones will not perish, but they'll have everlasting life. And then he goes into this. And this is what so many people never even know comes after John 3:16. They say that verse the way they think that it's understood to make themselves feel comfortable in their sin. See, God loves me. Doesn't matter how what all sins I'm continuing to engage myself in and practice, he still loves me. Boy, that's deception too. Yeah, Jesus talked about that. You might be one of those people, lest you repent, who stand before him on that day and you say, Lord, Lord, haven't I done all this stuff in your name? Didn't I quote John 3:16? Didn't I, you know, give all my emotional response? And he's going to say, get away from me. I don't know you who practice lawlessness. I don't know you. I've never been intimate with you. I don't know. It's not that he doesn't know who you are. He obviously does. But he's never had a relationship with you. And he says, get away from me because you practice lawlessness. Okay? And then he says this, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Why didn't he send him into the world to condemn it? Because it was already condemned. He sent Jesus into the world to save the world, not to condemn it. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. That's Jesus. Read John chapter 1. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, why is that important? Because what we're talking about is conspiracies usually take place where? In the light or in the dark? I'll give you three chances to answer that, and the first two don't count, right? It happens in the dark. Now, I read some guy saying, oh, we shouldn't concern ourselves with conspiracy and this, that, and the other. So it's pretty incredible, because the scriptures concern itself with conspiracies, Old and New Testament. But I do agree with the person who wrote an article I read on conspiracies, trying to write it from a Christian perspective. I do agree with them that some people get so bogged down in the conspiracies that they can find no hope outside of whatever they're seeing, that wicked men are conspiring against them. Don't do that. Don't get caught up in every little thing that goes on. This is a pretty big deal, okay? This is a pretty big deal. And again, you can go back in our history and you can see, you don't even have to go back too far. within the past decade. You can see, I talked to you about Bundy Ranch, Oregon, you know, some of the things of what we've seen where they want to take people's land for the resources that are on that land. People in government want to do it, and they do it for money, and they do it for power, and they do it for control, and they do it just to be wicked in some cases. So keep all of this in mind when you're hearing these things come to the forefront here. We have, for instance, this is 2 Kings. I'll just give you these. I'm just going to give you a scattershot of these, and then we'll get ready and close out the show. This is, 2 Kings 12:20. What do we see here? And his servants arose and made a conspiracy and slew Joash in the house of Milo, which goeth down to Selah. Then we go over here to 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 19. Now they made a conspiracy against him. This is going on in Israel. Against him in Jerusalem. And he fled to Lachish, but they sent after him to Lachish and slew him there. We read in 2 Kings 15:15, the rest of the acts of Shalom and the conspiracy which he made, behold, they are written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel. Now, what are we to do with all of this? Well, we're going to look at this light and darkness thing in Ephesians chapter 5. Because let's look at what it says here. Beginning in verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Now, if you don't know what that is, if you don't know what that means, I would suggest to you go to the little epistle of 1 John. Read that. In fact, if you're not really sure about this light and darkness thing, read 1 John every day for about a week, and you kind of get it in your head. And the more you meditate on it, the more you think about it, the more the Lord will open it up to you, and He'll show you, and He'll show you if you need to come out of the darkness or whether you're in the light. That's what He's going to do. Okay? So Paul tells these Ephesian believers, you're children of light. And he says, verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And then he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't invite yourself in to the deeds of darkness. Be discerning about what darkness is. And he says, and when you see it, you reprove it. You reprove it. And then he goes on and he says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's shameful. The things they conspire against the people with. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So what happens when you uncover these things, these conspiracies, these things that are attacking the people? You reprove it. You know, it's interesting. We're commanded to be, we're not even commanded. Jesus just said, this is what we are. We're to be the salt of the earth. We're to be the light of the world, aren't we? We're to be the salt of the world. We're to be the light of the world. Salt of the earth, the light of the world. What does light do? It dries away darkness, doesn't it? When you throw on the light switch, you come home and it's 10 o'clock at night and it's pitch black in your house, and you throw on the light switch, what happens? The light comes on. If you got bugs or mice or whatever, they scatter, don't they? You see them run across the floor. And if you don't have that, well, then you don't see that. But you see everything light up so you can walk and not, you know, trip over a toy or bump your toe on something or whatever the case may be. You turn on the light so you can see. What are the people doing in darkness? What does the Bible tell us that they do? They're groping in darkness. They're blind. I remember when I was born again. I was not looking for the Lord. There was not a preacher preaching at me. There was a guy who looked at me and he simply said, It's like Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. And my whole world changed right then. The light came on in my heart. I was born again. And guess what? I told people then, I didn't understand things the way I understand now of what happened to me. But I said, it was like walking around, my whole life up until that time was like walking around in sort of a dark room. You could make out certain things. You can make out shapes. Maybe that's a chair over there. Maybe this is a table over here. There are beds over here, whatever. You could see sort of the outline. I'm trying to give you sort of a, I'm speaking as a man here, okay? That's what it felt like. And then when I was born again, it was like somebody cranked the lights on, and I'm like, I didn't realize all this was going on here. That's what that was like. And as the Lord did that for us, what are we to do for others? We're to shed that light for them too, so that they might see. And what is that light? It is the light that came down from heaven, clothed himself in flesh, and lived among men in order that he might save them from their lawlessness. And before you tell me that you're not lawless, you might want to just go be honest with yourself for a little bit. That you've never been lawless, that you've never broken the law. And I'm not talking about speeding down the road. I'm not talking about, you know, stuff that men make up and stuff. I'm talking about the law of God. The Ten Commandments. Let's start there. Everything else expounds from that. You ever stolen something? You ever lusted after a woman or a man in your heart? You ever coveted anything that your neighbor's got? His car, his truck, his wife, his kids, his chainsaw, his house, whatever. Yep, you're guilty of breaking the law too. You ever hated anybody? Ever murdered somebody? All those things are equivalent. That's where your energy's going by even thinking about it. You ever committed adultery, fornication? You ever stole anything? You ever lied? You ever dishonored your parents? Ever had other gods before the true God? Ever had any of those things? How many of you have been like David? And you hid your sin. And the Bible talks about the physical aspect that it had on David when he tried to hide his sin. He's probably covering up for several months. Right? And what does it say? It says his bones waxed in him. He was sick. He was distraught. All of these things. Why? Because he covered up his sin. It wasn't until Nathan came and he said, you know, you're the man. You're the man doing these wicked things. And then the light came on for David and he goes, I've been hiding it, but you're right. I'm the man. And the Bible says that he repented before the Lord. Now, God didn't take away the consequences that were going to come as a result of his sin, but he did not require him to be put to death because there was a genuine brokenness and there was genuine repentance. But he lost his son that he had with Bathsheba, that he committed adultery with, and he tried to cover up in the death of her husband. And he ended up bringing a sword against his own house. One of his sons raped his daughter. The other son killed the son because he raped his daughter. And then he was killed. One of the sons tried to take his throne, and David had to flee the city with his men. That's what his sin brought on him. Now, let me tell you something. If these guys are really into this stuff, if there's really a conspiracy that's going on involving the hurricane and everything else, I'm going to tell you something. God's going to uncover it. And then he's going to bring justice against them. And I'm going to tell you what. He usually uses men to do it. Go back and read your Bible. Sometimes he sends an angel to do it. And usually when he sends an angel, we're talking tens of thousands of people get it. But he usually uses men to bring justice. Let that sink in for a second. You want justice? You want these criminals dealt with? You're going to be the answer for it. You and me, not anybody else. If you think voting some guy in who doesn't get it done, hadn't got it done, and I don't care where he's at, Congress, Senate, he can be a bureaucrat, he can be a president, he can be whatever. they aren't going to get it done. The people who are moved by God, who see the law for what it is, and who want to enforce that law, they're going to be the ones to bring the justice. Nobody else. If you're looking for somebody else to do it, you're deceived. They're not going to do it. And you should get busy repenting and then seeing how you can be a part of the solution rather than being part of the problem. So, come to the end of this this segment. And this, I'm going to go back to the article I started with from CBS News. It's some of it is kind of comical that they take it serious. I mean, that's the thing that gets me. This is the end of the CBS article. It says, conspiracies around cloud seeding routinely appear after major weather events, including flooding in Dubai and storms in California. When asked if cloud seeding played a role in Dubai floods, a meteorologist, okay? Not necessarily somebody in the know, but he's a meteorologist, told the Associated Press, when it comes to controlling individual rainstorms, we're not anywhere close to that. How does he know? I'm just kind of curious. Federal and state officials have said misinformation and conspiracy theories are hindering efforts. Listen, that's our newest member of the family there. I guess I got some people coming in. Sorry. That's Mr. Biscuits. Federal and state officials have said misinformation and conspiracy theories are hindering efforts to provide aid and accurate information to victims. Wait a minute. I thought it was Tin Hat fire chiefs trying to impede rescue operations. I thought it was state troopers who were ready to arrest such people who wanted to do that. I thought it was all, you know, I was talking with my friend Captain Carl, who went down to Florida to help some people down there. We're going to see if we can bring him on. He went down to Florida. They confiscated his vehicle. He was just trying to bring some supplies to people who needed it down there. And the feds and the local tyrants tried to confiscate his big truck that he has. Took his supplies, all this stuff. Now, it's not the people who are thinking for themselves and putting two and two together that are hindering efforts to provide aid and accurate information. It's the Mockingbird media. It's those in government who are covenant breakers. They're the ones who put their hand on the Bible or whatever they're putting it on now and raising their hand up and say they're gonna obey the Constitution if they don't do it. They're the ones hindering it. They end with this. Deanne Criswell, who leads FEMA, apparently she's not leading very well. None of the leaders of FEMA, they all stink. That whole organization just needs to be abolished like yesterday. And what's going on up in Western North Carolina is a prime example of why. They've done this time and time. You guys remember New Jersey? When was that? Was that that snowstorm? It was back in like, I don't know what it was, 2014 or 15. And FEMA was just pathetic. The people there in Jersey did a whole lot better in caring for their own than FEMA ever did. And I'm not saying that there's not some decent people in FEMA, but it's a government agency. It's not there. Government is not there to provide charity. That is you and me. But so many people are really happy that government tries to be charitable with everybody else's money. She said, this Criswell who leads FEMA, said the false claim are demoralizing to aid workers. No, they're not. No, they're not. Republican Senator Tom Tillis, yeah, that guy's kind of a joke, I think, too, told Face the Nation on Sunday that the claims distract from rescue work. That's how you can tell he is on their side. He's part of the establishment. Tom Tillis is, among other people. They distract from rescue work. Well, Tom, how are you supposed to engage in rescue work when your government tyrants are telling the people not to do it and they're threatening them with arrest? And they're not even talking about conspiracies. They just want to go in there and help. I'll tell you, the people there need help. They need funds. They're going to need clothes. They're going to need food. They're going to need water. They're going to need somebody to come in there and help clear off the land, if in fact they're able to rebuild on it. And they want to rebuild on it. I wouldn't want to rebuild in that area again, not at least not down in the part that gets flooded. Get up higher or something. No, what's hindering it are the corrupt in government. That's what's hindering it. And like it or not, there's a conspiracy to do that because one guy, just one guy, isn't determining all these things. There are several of them. They're conspiring together. It's just like when the fire chief said he was going to arrest that guy in the helicopter. What did he do? He conspired with the state troopers by the side and called them over to put more pressure on this helicopter pilot to not go and rescue the man, which, by the way, the good news was the man and his wife were reunited. We played some of that this morning. And he went and got his son. They conspired together to arrest that guy if he came back with anybody. Don't tell me the conspiracies aren't real. And I'll guarantee you whoever wrote this article right here probably had all this stuff handed to them and said, put this out. I mean, I don't even... Maybe Leila Ferris is a real person. I know a lot of these things are being constructed by AI. A lot of these reports are AI. How do I know that? Well, they end up being basically the same thing across different platforms and not necessarily by the same outlet. So you can't trust anything you get here. Now, could all this be completely wrong? We know there's a lithium deposit in North Carolina. We know that quartz, we know about that up in the mountains. Could it be nobody's after any of that or not benefiting from anything in the storm? It could be. I think it's highly unlikely, especially given what all the investments that's been given there. But keep that in mind. When you read about these people, as soon as they start out right at the first poisoning the well, and they start out with things like this, in the wake of Hurricane Helene, false rumors. They didn't start out with people are saying these things and go down and show you and then come to a conclusion. No, no, no. They slap it right out there. But these are supposed to be journalists. Now, if I do that, I'm told by people at NewsGuard, if I do that right there, you're not sticking to the facts. So this is not news. This is commentary. This is opinion. That's how they do it. And you know what I got to say, NewsGuard? Because your determination of what you think is news and commentary and all this is none of my concern. You people won't even hold the Mockingbird media accountable with a big fat red X for promoting for how many years the whole Russian collusion thing. You won't hold them accountable for it. You want to give them a pass and give them a big green check mark. But if we document the stuff that we talk about and we put it out there, and we'll tell you when we say, look, I can see how these things connect, what happens? See, friends, this really comes down to this. Here's the message. This disaster, like most disasters that we've had in the United States, you can get Hurricane Katrina, you get Hurricane Hugo, you can get flooding, all this stuff. What you'll see is it shows the utter worthlessness of the government in place. They are completely incapable of rendering real service to the people. That has to come from you and from me. What were we told by Jesus? What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. It didn't say love government, man's government. It didn't say love DC. It said love God. And from that, love man. Who are the ones to render love to our neighbors? We are. We're to be the ones who fill in the gap. We're to be the ones who cry with others when they're broken, when they're depressed, when they're down, when they've lost everything. We're to come alongside them. We're to cry with those who cry. And we're to rejoice with those who when there's a new baby born, we rejoice with people. And when people get married, we rejoice with them. When they've got, you know, something good happen, we rejoice with them. That's part of our love for each other. Why? Because we want people to rejoice with us. We want people to weep with us when we have difficult times too. And we go and seek to meet needs with people. Why? Because we want the same thing done to us. And so therefore, government can't do that. It is a fictitious entity. You can't haul government into a courtroom. It's fictitious. But real living men and women are to be the instruments of God. They're to be His hands and feet in meeting the needs of the people. First and foremost, with the gospel message. And second, the demonstration of that with our love through not only our words, but with our hands, with our feet, with our works. Ephesians 2:10. Those things which God created us beforehand that we should walk in them. I hope it's been helpful. I hope it's been edifying. And yeah, you look at the information yourself, and you're either going to determine, I'm going to listen to the Mockingbird Media, and there's nothing to this, and you know, everybody who even brings up the subject and points out the connections between the corruption that's there and the corrupt in government, they must be right. They must be good guys, and we must be just way off the reservation here. But I'm telling you, keep your discernment up, because other things will end up coming out. What did we read in Ephesians there? The light will manifest it. It will. There's nothing going to be covered that ain't going to be uncovered. And there's nothing that takes place in the dark that ain't going to be brought into light. That's what Scripture says. Jesus said it. It's a promise. You can count on it. All right? Guys, have a great afternoon, great evening. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here on Rumble, Sons of Liberty Radio Live, Sons of Liberty Media.com, and also Before It's News.com, 6 a.m. bright and early. Talk to you then.